Skillet takes nothing from eternity there. Would you trade your experience with God for anything else in the world? No, 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 1,000 times no. God's been too good to us, brought us too far. There's some parts of the journey I wouldn't want to have to go back through again. I wouldn't want to walk through the valley of Baca again like I've walked before. I know what it is for tears to fill your eyes till you can't even see the highway. You have to pull off the road and sit and wait till the tears dry up before you can go on again. I know what it is to walk through the valley of sorrow. I mean, for months and months and months, look like the flowers that never bloom again, the sun that never shine like it used to. I know what it is to lay in a hospital bed and hear the doctor tell you you've got 20 minutes or less to live, unless we can get some blood flowing to your heart. I know what it is when the doctors say we don't know if anybody on earth can help you.
Yeah.
We don't know if you come out of this whether you'll ever be able to do anything again or not. There's some parts of it I wouldn't want to have to go back over again. But oh, there's been some good times too.
Good times.
Oh, there's been those times when the Spirit of the Lord came down. The night down in Arkansas when the cloud came in the tent. And the tent meeting. That's the kind of glory cloud come by. Hallelujah. You say, did you shout and run the aisles? No, it was so sacred. There was something so awesome, so overpowering about it, that there was a holy place among the congregation. Who is almost afraid to do anything. Afraid to resist God. The power of God so strong. God reached out. The very next night over across the canyon in the neighboring yard, brought a young couple sitting in the yard under the sound of the PA system, brought them in. One came around one end, one came around the other end of the platform, an old tent, and that Lord prayed through. And that week they brought 6 more couples of their friends. That young lady that prayed through in the tent meeting that night, less than 2 months later, I preached her funeral. She was on the threshold of a long eternity. Didn't know it. Didn't know it, just young married couple. But she worked for God in the rest of that tent meeting.
Yeah.
And reached out to her friends and those 6 couples that came and prayed through.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So she had some sheaves to let the Master speak.
Right.
Though she only had a few weeks, she didn't know it. She didn't know it. She was unaware that death was right around the corner.
Right.
But God used her so she'd have something when she got to glory world. Hallelujah. There's been those times when the Lord came by with His mighty power. And let me be on hand when God was moving and working. Hallelujah. Brother Collins wanted me to tell you about the young man down in Mexico. Oh, I could talk all night and tell you about things God's done, but this just been a few months back. We was down with the Ragsdales to dedicate a church. They had a several days meeting there for the dedication. And the flu was raging through the little Mexican village, a place called Atizapan, way down. But kind of between Monterey, I think, or not Monterey, but Monte, on the way 350 miles down the interior of Mexico and between there and Tampico, down, way down in the mountains there. This little village, flu was raging and no doctor available, no money to get a doctor if they had been one. And this family, the church, they started with open air meeting the year before. 1 year before, they rolled some logs in the backyard. Folks from the village had been over to another village where they built a church some 90 miles away to visit some of their kin folks, and they got saved and said, would you come to our village and preach? And an open air meeting, gas lantern hung in the backyard and started revival. And a year later, they had the church building up. That church got the most young men in it. They must have been about 30 young men in that church, a bunch of them. It was a strong church already, year old. One young preacher had come out of the church, first one that got saved in the meeting. And what a testimony he had. Can I tell you about his testimony? Maybe we'll just have testimony meeting for a little bit here now. And he got to testify in the meeting, and he was practically blind. In fact, when he went to school, He was so blind he couldn't see the blackboard, and he never did, wasn't ever able to read because he didn't learn to read. Mm-hmm. And he was the first convert they had. He could see enough to get out on the farm, you know, and help to harvest crops and all, but not enough to even read, if he could read, to even to know what bus to get on to travel. And the Lord called him to preach.
God.
Filled him with the Holy Ghost and called him to preach. And he said, "Lord, I can't preach. I can't see. I can't see to know what bus to get on to go anywhere. I can't read. I can't read the Bible. I can't preach." God said, "I want you to preach."
Preach.
So the Lord gave him a vision. And then this vision told him the name of the place and showed him what, 14 faces, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
14 faces in this place.
Well,
simple faith. Here's a boy that hadn't been saved a year yet, hadn't had the Holy Ghost a year yet. This ought to make some shame for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Pray till God give him a message and give him a direction. He has to ask for directions. He worked and got a hold of enough money to get him a ticket on the bus. And he has to ask what bus to get on because he can't even read the names on the buses.
Yeah.
And he inquires and somebody helps him get the right buses till he winds up in El Tigre. May not be saying it right, but that's where he went. And anyway, no money, so he gets a job out here on this farm, helping to harvest. They got the little labor camps there that just kind of row long building there with just little sectioned off, just three sides and open on one side, and they build a campfire and cook on the campfire when they come in of the evening. Around the campfire, he got to preaching to those people. Around that campfire was a 14 faces.
Yeah.
He saw in his vision. So he got to tell them what God has done.
Hallelujah.
I mean, you're not a year old yet in the Lord.
Yeah.
But he's to tell them what God done.
Yeah.
And he had 14 converts. The first 14 people that got saved was the people that God showed him in the vision. Well, some of them could read, so he'd give his Bible to them. And they'd read the Bible, and he'd exhort to them out of the Bible. They'd do the reading and he'd do the preaching. And they read about God healing a blind man.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, "Brother, can God heal you?" He said, "Well, the missionary said he still does."
Yeah.
They said, "Well, if we pray for you, would God heal you?"
Praise God.
He said, "The missionary said he would."
Thank God.
I mean, simple faith.
Whoa.
Not been saved a year yet.
Yeah.
And that kind of faith.
Hallelujah.
They said he would. And these young converts gathered around that young man,
yeah,
laid their hands on him and asked God to heal his eyes.
Yeah.
And God healed his eyes and taught him to read.
Hallelujah.
And he come back home to help dedicate the church. And he come back home for the dedication. And he said, "I didn't have to ask anybody what bus to get on."
Hallelujah.
He said, "I never didn't know before they had these big signed billboards, you know, coming into the cities." And he said, "I could read them. I can read my Bible." And God gave him a congregation, taught him to read and healed his eyes. But in the same dedication service that he told about that, why, I guess maybe it was the next night or the night or after that, this mother, 14-year-old boy, come down with the flu, burn up fever. He's almost blind. He just sees enough to be able to kind of get around. A lot of folks there. I mean, you're born on maybe a dirty blanket on a dirt floor. No medication or nothing. And germs get in your eyes.
Right.
And a lot of folks got eye problems.
Right.
And he's a deaf mute. He can't hear. He can't talk. He's burning up with fever. The man down there is really the head of the house. They don't do anything without his approval. But his mother went to his father and he said, "Can I take the boy to the meeting?
To the meeting.
Maybe they'll pray for him and God could help him." They're not in church. Hadn't never been in church yet. But the boy's so sick, burning up with fever. "Can I take him?" Father thought enough of that afflicted son. He said, "You can take him." They brought him to the service that night, and the power of God began to move. And the Ragsdales they rejoice, and a lot of times they more weep when they rejoice. And this congregation wasn't quite used to some of us loud in our services and all. We had, I think, 40-some individuals down there for the dedication service, and some of them was pretty wild, pretty loud, you know, like we get sometimes. This boy had never been to church before, and you could see he was afraid. And they went together to pray for him, and he was kind of afraid and drawn back. And I just reached out with my arm and put my arm across his shoulder, and he just kind of snuggled up against me. You know, here's somebody that's going to help me, going to make sure that I'm all right. And while I had my arm around him there, and he was up against me, the Holy Ghost moved and came by. I don't know who prayed the prayer of faith. That's not important. I'm just glad God let me be there. It's been a long time since I've seen a deaf mute healed. I've seen it before, but it's been a while. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody that was blind healed. I've seen it, but it's been a while. Pastor in church, you know, you're seeing people over every time you have church, and you don't deal with so many people as you do when you're traveling across the country. And it's been a while since we've really seen a miracle like that. Power of God came down, opened that boy's ears till he could hear, healed his eyes. He started reaching out and feeling the folks around his features. He could see. He could see clear. And somebody started playing some music he'd never paid attention to before. He stood up and tiptoed and looked to see where that was coming from. Sister Rag still started talking to him in Spanish. He tried to repeat the words that she said. Prior to him, he'd get them right. He was here. He could talk when he could hear. His mother standing there, and she pointed to his mother and said, "Mama." He repeated the word "mama" and looked toward his mother, "mama." And the tears just flowed down that mother's face. Them people in the village that knew that deaf mute, knew that he'd never talked, knew that he couldn't hear and he couldn't see very well. And God had healed him. I tell you, that place caught fire from the front to the back. The power of God came by, started moving. And you know what? Practically the whole village is in church now. Stirred, that country stirred, that village. God moved and worked and healed that boy. They went by maybe a couple weeks later, see how he's doing. He come running out to the gate to meet him, just talking, just a full vocabulary, saying anything he wanted to say. Hallelujah. Healing is still real. God's still moving. God's still working. Hallelujah. God's still able to open blind eyes, still able to unstop deaf ears, still able to open the tongue of the deaf mute. Glory to God, he's still God, he's still real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had a revival down in Arkansas, around 5 weeks down at Dugan, and a lot of those folks come in. Some of them were drug addicts, alcoholics. I mean, the marks of sin, you could see on their arms, where the tracks was on their arms, where the needles had gone in little festered places and all. Where have they been so far down? God come by and touched their lives, turned their lives around, saved them. They felt like God could do anything. And come time to pray for folks, why? They didn't come for prayer. They didn't say, "I want you to pray for me." They'd stand up there and say, "I come for healing. I come for my healing." Yeah. You know what? They get it. Simple childlike faith. They knew if God could deliver them. Some of them had been to the hospitals and been dried out and been to the drug hospitals and everywhere, and they hadn't been able to get loose from it. They knew if God could break the fetters and break the chains and set them free from the things they was bound with, no problem at all for God to heal their body. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. And they come, "I'm a standing in for my brother. I'm a standing in for this one. I'm a standing in for that," for God to save them. Amen. They'd stand in. It wouldn't be two or three nights. Still the one they standing in for. Never been to church before, but they'd show up at church. Amen. God get them moving and working. They'd hit the altar and they'd pray through. Wouldn't be very long till they'd be a standing in for somebody. And that's the way it went. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Why? Because they had faith.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we've seen too much and heard too much.
Right. Yes.
It affects your faith. But they came with simple childlike faith. I come for my healing.
Yeah.
We come to be prayed for. Maybe God will touch us. Maybe God will help us. Maybe we'll get a touch. But they came to be healed. If we had come and approached God with the same confidence, the same kind of faith, hallelujah, I came to be healed. That mother brought her boy because he had the flu and was burned up the fever. God not only healed him of the flu and his fever left, but he opened his eyes till he could see clearly. Amen. Loosed his tongue till he could talk. Amen. Opened his ears till he could hear. Praise God. He's still God. He's still able to move. He's still able to work. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. The problem is we don't let the power work in us enough. We sit back so reserved and so prim and proper. Amen. Don't really pray through. Don't really touch God. Don't really touch heaven. Wonder why we don't see more happen. What's the cause the former days were better than these? Amen. Amen. Why don't we start checking up and see what we're doing different than they did? Brother Collins talked about praying. The Happy Bibles, years gone by. But up there in them hills, they said there's times when you could go out and stand on one of them hilltops and you could hear somebody praying in the holler over here. You could hear somebody over yonder on the hillside praying. You could hear somebody. I mean, just common thing. About any time, day or night, go out on the mountainside, you'd hear somebody talking to God, hear somebody praying, hear somebody seeking God. I know we're living a different day. But sometimes we're living different too. And it may not all be the day we're living in. It may be how we're living in the day. Amen. Amen. How long has it been since folks got under burden and decided they're just going to pray all night? You been in any all night prayer meetings lately? I can remember the time when the young folks prayed all night, can't you, Brother Collins? Hadn't really intended to, but we just had a burden. We wanted to see God move. We wanted to see God work.
Yeah.
Old Midway Church.
Had church all night.
After church was over, we decided to stay and pray a while. Sometimes before we went home, the sun was breaking over the eastern sky. Hallelujah. No wonder God sent revival. No wonder God sent revival. No wonder God moved. No wonder God worked. No wonder out of that period of time, Brother Collins and I wasn't the only preachers that came out. There's about a dozen preachers that was called into the ministry out of that particular move, that particular generation. Why? Because somebody prayed. It hadn't always been on fire like that. It hadn't always been working like that. Back in the 40s when the war was on, a lot of the folks went to defense plan. The poor little Midway church got down to where it didn't have a handful of folks. Just almost went under. Just hardly enough folks to even have church. I can remember when we run in the teens and in Sunday school. But somebody got to pray and somebody touched heaven. Somebody got a hold of God. Somebody prayed a hole through the sky. And God began to move and revival came by. And it wasn't just one revival, but it was a period of revival that lasted for months and several years. And God kept moving and working and touching hearts and touching lives. Problem thing that worries me, we lose some generations in between times. Every generation could have the same move. Every group of young people that come up could have the same experience. It wasn't too many years after that. Brother Rice was there, and he went to California and asked if I'd take care of the church while he was gone. And I was talking to the young people. Young people's teacher wasn't there that morning. I tell the teenage class, and I was talking to them, and we got talking about how God moved and about folks being slain in the spirit. And some of those teenagers said, "What's it like to be slain in the spirit?" I said, "We can't remember ever seeing anybody."
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, they was sleeping on pallets and on the benches when God was moving like they didn't remember it. Mm-hmm. What's it like? I said, it's hard to tell you. It's something you just almost got to experience for yourself.
Yeah. Right.
It's something you need to pray and see. They said, how can we experience? I said, tell you what, this week, I'll do it with you. And let's just push our plates back at least one meal every day, and maybe more than that if you want to. And let's just really seek God. and see what happened.
Yes. Right.
Next Sunday morning rolled around, and we started service and started out with a song, and along about the second song they were singing, all of a sudden I heard a racket. And I looked around, and them teenagers said, "What's it like to dance and shout and to fall out and be slain of the Spirit?" No, power God hit them. Them what been pushing their plate back and fasting and praying, power God hit them. And some of them was a dancing and rejoicing, and directly, bang, 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 they started hitting the floor.
Yeah.
Slain under power. Revival broke out. God began to know the generation came along that hadn't seen it work. Another generation grew up that needed to feel it. Another generation. And God sent it the same way he did before. Why? Because somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. That was just a teenage class that fasted and prayed, and God broke out. Another visitation, another move of the Holy Ghost. I wonder, I wonder, I wonder what it's going to take in this hour. I know the powers of darkness. Antichrist forces are getting stronger. It may take more effort now than it did back then.
Right.
But I believe we can still have it.
Right. Through.
Yes.
Daniel said, "They that do know their God."
Yes.
The wicked's going to do wickedly.
Sure.
Amen. But they that do know their God,
well,
are going to be strong.
How about that?
They're going to do exploits.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think we have to take the tuck yet, because we can see the mark of the beast right around the corner.
No.
I mean, it's the closest scary.
Right.
They're already using the computer chips.
Right. Got the apparatus.
Not only are they computer chipping the exotic birds and the high dollar show animals, but they're computer chipping people. That's right. And some of them's already using them in the supermarkets and all to pay for their goods. Well, keep getting deals from the bank on us, take out one of them cards and use it instead of cash. Just let them scan it. What's it doing? It's getting the world so used to a cashless society that when the mark of the beast slips on in, right. The apparatus is already set up for the mark of the beast.
Already there.
The apparatus is already there.
Yes, sir.
Even in the third world countries. When we was in Guatemala, when we was in Peru, when we was in those other countries. Even those nationals that can't read and write, never had a chance to go to school, but they're issued a personal ID card. They have to carry that ID card with them all the time, or they're subject to arrest.
Well, everywhere in the world.
Where the climate is so hot and so humid that perspire so much when they're working, they carry, they wrap it up in plastic and carry it in a little bag. And there'll be a hacking brush clearing land for one of the big landowners, and they'll have that hanging right there where they can get to it. Because if the civil guard comes by and asks for the ID, they've got to have it. That really shook me up. You know, if it was just here in America, it'd be one thing, but when it's worldwide, when the third world countries, when people that can't read and write and don't even know what's going on in the capital city and don't know what's going on outside their own little village and all, still have to have an ID card with a number on it, or they're subject to arrest and imprisonment if they don't, we're getting awfully close to the mark of the beast worldwide.
Awful close.
Amen.
Yeah.
The machinery is set up. It's already in motion. All we're waiting for is for he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. God's given us a few more days, a little bit longer to get a hold of God, a little bit longer to get ready. The colored preacher down in Texas said, "You better get your priorities right." That's what he was telling them. The apparatus is set up for the mark of the beast. The apparatus is set up for the man of sin. The apparatus is set up for the end time.
Right.
Get your priorities right. There's something more important than making more money.
Right.
You're not going to be able to use it when the mark of the beast comes anyway.
Right.
Stash it on up. James said, go to, you rich men, weep and howl. Your treasures that you've labored and worked for and all, it's all come to naught. A new car, bigger car, nicer home, nicer automobile, those things ain't gonna be worth a nickel one of these days. Not too far off.
Not too far off.
You'll not be able to buy any gasoline to put in your tank without a mark. You'll not be able to pay your taxes without a mark. I know some folks that stocked a lot of stuff up in the cave up in Missouri. I mean, enough stuff to last them through 7 years.
Hell.
Bought a farm with a cave on it. That was the priority over the farm, to have a big cave on it.
Yeah.
They never stopped to think they wouldn't be able to pay the taxes on the place and they'd lose their cave.
Yeah.
Come on.
Cave repossessed.
They'd lose their cave when they quit paying the taxes. They'd sell the cave to tax court.
Yeah. Everything that...
There's only one way to look, and that's to get ready to meet God.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amos said, prepare to meet your God.
That's right.
Prepare to meet your God. Amen. I know we've got to occupy till he comes. And I know it's important to work and it's important to make a living. But let's don't get so wrapped up by occupying that we forget to pray.
That's right, Gerald.
And watch and be ready.
Right.
Jesus told us occupy one time. And how many times did he tell us through the Gospels to watch and pray? To be ye also ready for such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man cometh. If the good man of the house had known what hour the thief had come, he to watch it and not suffered his house to be broken through. Isn't that what he said? But it'll come like a snare. It'll come like a thief in the night. It'll come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. There'll not be any time to pray through then. There'll not be any time to get it right then. There'll not be any time to go fix it up with your neighbor then. There'll not be any time to go to your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm sorry I've been crossways with you. There'll not be any time then to fix it.
Too late.
You better get it fixed and keep it fixed now. Amen. There'll not be time then to root that root of bitterness out. That's been keeping you from getting in. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, be ready. Be ready. Why? It'll be like a flash of lightning.
That's what it is.
Amen.
What is it?
In a moment, the twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
So quick.
So quick.
So quick. So quick, and it'll be over. Two will be in the field, one will be taken to the left.
Gone.
Two will be grinding the mill, one will be taken to the left. Who will be sleeping in a bed won't be taken. By the left.
Help, Lord.
Will you be among the missing?
Think of it.
Will you be among the missing?
Good question.
Or will you be among the left? I want to leave here, don't you? I want to leave here. I'd hate to think. I'd hate to think that anything of this world kept me from being ready.
Right.
It'll look so pitiful to you.
Right, Jerry. Right.
It'll look so pitiful to you.
Help me, Jesus. Oh, help me, Jesus.
It'll look so sad. It may look big right now, but if it causes you to miss the rapture, causes you to miss meeting the Lord in the air, causes you to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb,
right.
You'll hate it.
Right.
You'll hate it with the intensity that you love it now.
My God, thank you.
It'll eat on you. It'll burn you like fire.
Right.
You'll wonder, why was I so slack? Why did I allow anything to come in? Why did I allow anything to separate between me and God? Why did I allow anything to hinder me? What made the world look so good to me? What made the entertainment look so good to me? What made those things look so good to me? Yeah, it was pleasure for a little bit, but is it worth losing that with God? Is it worth selling your soul for? Esau sold out for a mess of pottage. Some folks are selling that for less than that. It's costing some of them.
Right. Preach. That's right.
Reaching out for that God said, touch not, taste not, handle not the unclean thing if you want me to receive you.
Right.
It's cost some folks their homes. It's cost some folks their families. It's cost some folks their freedom. It's cost folks a whole lot of things. It cost them, instead of getting a mess of pottage out of it, this cost them and cost them and cost them and cost them and still cost them and still paying the bill. For the little cheap thrill that it brought. For the excitement. And now, lost it. And it's going to be that way after Jesus comes. If you've allowed the love of anything else to overshadow and supersede the love of God in your heart and in your life. Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. That burned his hand so bad he couldn't even keep it. Throw it back to the door that betrays you, and they refused to back out and take it back. Mm-hmm. These folks are selling out for a whole lot less. A cheap thrill. A little bit of excitement. A little challenge to go out. Sold out. Sold out. One more good time. The best time you can have is the time you can have. That's with the right. Blessing of God's flowing. There's nothing out there in the world to compare with it.
Nothing to compare.
But they'll sell out for a cheap thrill. Mm-hmm. Sell out for a little bit of excitement. Sell out to have their own way. Mm-hmm. Sell out because they've got a grudge and they don't want to put it on the altar.
Preach.
Oh, but Brother Gerald, you don't know what they've done to me. I don't care what they've done to me.
Preach.
You might have a reason, but you still don't have a right.
No.
Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Regardless of what reason you've got, the Bible don't give you a right to hold a grudge. The Bible don't give you a right to get bitter. The Bible don't. I don't care how bad you've been wounded, those wounds will heal if you let God heal them. But if you keep a gouging them and tearing them open and worrying them until they get infected, they're liable to set in gangrene and kill you. That's right. But if you'll come and let God put some of that healing oil on them, some of that balm of Gilead on them, hallelujah, hallelujah, you can get healed. If you live for God very long, you've been wounded. Everybody gets the devil's business to wound you. Amen. And he'll wound you the first chance he gets. He'll wound you and he'll wound you bad. But thank God he's a great physician and he can patch every wound up, fix it up, and make it just as good as new. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But folks won't come to him and they won't let him. They want to hold that thing.
Yeah.
They want to harbor that thing. And these folks going to miss heaven. Not because they got out and committed some great sin, but because they wouldn't turn loose by that thing that got in their heart. You'll not have time to fix it when the trumpet sounds. You'll not have time to go get oil when the cry goes out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. The foolish virgin tried it. Go to them that sell and buy for yourself. They tried it, but when they came back, the door was shut. There's going to be a lot of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Think about it.
And it's not just going to be those that was out in the world that realized as they waited too late to get saved, but some of it's going to be folks that warmed to church pews.
Think about it.
It's not going to be all just out the sinners, but some of them are left behind. It's going to be some that really thought they were going.
Right.
But they waited too late to get it fixed. Been a long time since I've been here. Very few people that I can even call name to has been so long.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you're standing, but I feel tonight that God's talking to somebody's heart.
You sure right.
Jesus said, I would that you're hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll be yet.
Oh, God.
How's your oil supply? Will you be among the foolish virgins that's knocking after the door's closed? These virgins, they was invited to the marriage supper. Amen. They is pure. They is clean. They thought they was going. They only lacked one thing. That was oil.
Help!
How long since we took a good look at our own oil supply?
Yes, sir.
How long has it been since God's good Holy Ghost swept over you? How long has it been since God thrilled every fiber of your being with the power and anointing from heaven, the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Amen. Oh, no, we've not backslid. But we've not kept the sight picked up sometimes either.
That's right.
You don't have to have a leaky vessel. If your light's burning, it'll burn the oil out.
Right.
And I was a boy, and we, down on the farm where I was born, that REA hadn't got down there yet, and we had the old kerosene lamps, and they didn't none of them leak.
No.
But if we burnt the wick very long, they run out.
Run out.
Every Saturday when we went to town, took the cream and eggs in to sell, took the coal oil can.
Right.
We called it coal oil back in them days, but that was the thing you always took to town with you when you went to town. You took the coal oil can.
Right.
Got some more oil. Some of you nodding your heads, you there.
Right.
Them days.
How many times?
I mean, that was one thing, 10 cents a gallon. 8 cents a gallon, maybe sometimes. But you took that coal oil can. Why? Because if you didn't have oil, you couldn't have a light after the sun went down.
Right.
And those lamps burned it.
Sure did.
If your lamps are burning and your lights are shining, you're going to have to keep getting some more oil. Or first thing you know, it's going to be flickering.
That's praise God.
First thing you know, it's going to be smoking because the oil's got down so low.
Mm-hmm.
The globe will get all smoked up. And directly it'll go out.
Right.
Why? Because there's no oil in the vessel. That's what happened to the foolish virgins. And that's what's liable to happen to some of us. I know I'm taking too much time, but I feel like God wants to talk to somebody tonight. I feel like God wants to stir our hearts tonight.
Right.
How long has it been since you got a refilling? How long has it been since the overflowing blessing came? Amen. How long has it been since the power of God and the power of the Holy Ghost moved on you? That third person of the Trinity came by and made himself real, filled and thrilled till the overflow came. Amen. The altar's open. Father, again tonight, that same spirit that moved down in Mexico, that deaf mute, almost blind, that same Holy Ghost that moved and opened his eyes and opened his ears and loosed his tongue, God, let it move over this congregation tonight. Let that good Holy Ghost of God, let him visit every heart, every life. God, they are coming so close. Powers of darkness overwhelming all around us, and God, let the light of heaven's glory shine down tonight. Move and touch our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name. All heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd like to see you in another room. I'm not worried. We'd like to be with God. If I knew the trumpet had sounded at midnight, I'd like to have more God than what I'm feeling right now. With God, let God know that you're hungry for something from heaven.
Yes.
Anybody got a hunger down this side?
Yes.
Anybody want something from God tonight? Oh, yes. Yes, I see the hands.
Bless thee. I shall be by your side. I shall stand by you. Yea, I will hold thee up. I will support you. I will take you through. I'll give you victory if thou will seek me with your whole heart. In the day you seek me with your whole heart, thou shalt find me in every way and everything you need. If you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. Come ye at my invitation. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yea, come and partake of my treasures. I invite you to come. Yea, the time passes and you don't pray. You fail to seek the Lord. I invite you to come and you don't come. I invite you to ask and you don't ask. I invite you to seek and you don't seek. You look to other things and other places and blame others. Yea, if you fail to hearken to my invitation, to whom shall you blame except thyself? Seek me and you shall live. Yea, seek me and you shall be blessed. Seek me and then I shall open the windows of heaven for you. Yea, and all shall know that thou hast the open reward of seeking thy God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What are you waiting for? You've got the promise of the Holy Ghost himself. Now God's an invitation. Would you seek him? Would you come and stand? You're hungry for something from God. You want to be sure that you're ready to be with him. You want to be sure that you're among those who stay here. You don't want to be left behind. Let's find a place around these altars. God, you have a young man already here. Lord, I want to go. Show me the way. Lord, I want to go. I don't want to be left behind when the powers of hell is turned loose on this earth. I don't want to be here when people's crying for food. The Antichrist.